The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're hanging out with us. Man, I tell you what, it's something we talk about all the time. The wussification of America continues. Seattle schools are closed today. They're closed today. The roads were barely even wet. Forget about any freezing on the roads. They make the call last night. And so now for 3 days this week, when, by the way, I live outside of the city, but I work right in downtown Seattle. There's some hills that I have to navigate to get to work. I haven't seen an inch of ice in 3 days of commuting in and home this week. And yet Seattle school kids have now missed 3 days of school, including today, when there is no problem on the roads. And what's incredulous about this is that they made this call at about 7 o'clock last night. And we've been talking with Nick Allard and Morgan Palmer at Cairo 7, and they said that the forecast, this particular one, has been a little bit difficult to come up with, and things change very rapidly. And yet they could decide to, at 7 o'clock last night, to cancel schools for a third consecutive day. We are the wimpiest, I'm telling you. And again, this wussification that we're inbreeding in too many kids is unbelievable. And then there's schools. Here's another thing. I know that another local school district, they were 2 hours late today, and it's an early dismissal day, which is another one of the bogus things in the school calendars, how many days where kids only go to school for half the day, or not even that. But so they were going in at 10 o'clock this morning, and they were going to get out at noon after being off school Monday and Tuesday. Oh, I tell you what, this education system, it's crackerjack. I'd like to know what you think about all this, especially if you're a parent of school-age kids. Give me your take on just the insanity. And I get it. Up in Snohomish County and further north, lots of snow. I get it. That's legit. But in Seattle, this is insane that they closed schools for three straight days. They could have made it any of those three. You can text me, of course, at 98973. That's 98973 from the 253. Seattle schools closure. Go on, Dory. 3 days less of liberal indoctrination. Yeah, that's true. But I'm getting a lot of those from the 360. Look at the bright side, Dory. It's one less day the students get told that math is racist. So everybody has kind of the same take.
But they have to make it up in the summer. It's not really 3 days left.
Yeah, but they, on paper, they have to make it up. Those are snow makeup days are the most useless days in a kid's learning life.
That's true.
The teachers aren't teaching. The kids aren't learning. When they extend it into the summer, those days, and I know this for certain, because when you coach high school basketball, you have a window in June when you can coach, right after the middle school sports season, spring sports season ends. And so I'd be working with kids throughout the month of June. And I know for certain that snow makeup days, the teachers do not put any effort into them. The kids put even less. So yeah, they'll have to make it up. Essentially, it's just a little more extra vacation for everybody involved. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Speaking of the schools, the legislature is in session. And one of the first things that's been introduced is a bill to have you and me pay for other people's kids even more so. It is Senate Bill 6073, and it would mandate that school districts must make menstrual hygiene products available at no cost in all gender-neutral bathrooms and bathrooms designated for female students located in public schools that serve students in any of grades 6 through 12. So it'll mandate that every single school, public school in the state that has kids 6th grade or older, they're going to have to put in machines that dispense sanitary napkins, tampons, or similar items, and they say it'll be for student use only. How are they going to regulate that? For student use only? I mean, why not grab a few extra, bring them home to mom? But could I just offer one amendment, if anybody in the Senate is listening? Because, you know, you could do the same thing for boys. Why don't we mandate that we put shaving products in all the boys' bathrooms in all schools? Because, you know, some kids, maybe they can't afford that. But here's my amendment to the Senate bill. If the kid has an iPhone 5 or newer, how about you and I don't have to pay for their hygiene products? I mean, if they can afford, you know, whatever the monthly plan is on a phone, if, you know, mom and dad always get them the latest upgrade because, well, Jennifer got the latest upgrade. I need a 10. I need an iPhone 10 now. How about instead of giving it to all kids, why not just provide it to the kids who really need it? Would that be so tough to just say, look, if you're truly destitute, come to the office and we'll hook you up. But so every kid, dad makes $200,000 a year at Amazon. She's got an iPhone 10, and we got to pay for her stuff. I know. It's an old-fashioned concept. The parents should take care of their own kids. Somebody wrote in, Dory, an iPhone 5 is 7 years old. Yeah, it's got to be older than that. If you're walking around with something older than 7 years in your pocket, then maybe you're somewhat frugal. Or maybe you actually need help. But... oh, the new ones? Oh, there's an 11? Is there an 11 out now?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm getting texts about that. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so anyway, that's my amendment, that you must have at least an iPhone 4 or older to qualify for free hygiene products from the taxpayers. See how much money I'm going to save you?
Speaking of, we should upgrade your phone. You need the 11.
You know what? I've been wrestling with that. Why?
Because
it does everything I need it to do.
I don't think it does.
It does everything. I can.
They start to make. They make things not work as well, and you've already noticed because I've helped you with things on your phone before.
I know. There's the built-in obsolescence, but it works fine. I'm okay. I don't want to keep giving them money every time a new one comes out.
That's fair.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Okay. Next up in the big league.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
There was an incredible story. Our friend Amy Clancy, one of the investigative reporters at our news partners, Cairo 7 News, she had just, I don't even know what to say about this story. A guy bought from the city of Seattle a residential firehouse. And what I mean by that is when the city of Seattle was liquidating this piece of property, it's a no longer used fire station, and the city of Seattle billed it in the marketing, the ads, as a unique residential dwelling. So this guy named Tom Croon, he thought, well, that's kind of cool, live in an old firehouse. So he bought it at auction in 2012 for $712,000. And he clearly bought it to live in it because that's how the city of Seattle had marketed it.
And we purchased the property in 2012, I believe it was, and thought we had essentially bought a residential property.
For how much?
$712,000.
Okay. And you had good reason to think he had bought a residential property because that's how they advertised it. But then someone complained that he was living in his residence.
3 years, his extended family and friends used the firehouse for holidays, celebrations, charity fundraisers, graduation parties, and as an office. Until this land use notice of violation arrived in July of 2016. According to the City of Seattle's letter, a complaint about this property had been received. So a housing and zoning inspector investigated and found violations of the Seattle Land Use Code. Croon was ordered to discontinue all unauthorized uses, including but not limited to office and residence, because the legally established use of the property is as a public facility, fire station.
Okay. So the City of Seattle markets it to this person as a unique residential dwelling. He, in good faith and good spirit, bought it to be just that. And he spent a lot of money remodeling the interior. And then one person complains, and the City of Seattle, which I guess fraudulently marketed it to the guy, now they're telling him, oh, no, you cannot use it as a residence. And this poor guy told Amy Clancy that he's absolutely shocked by this.
Because I thought it was sort of a joke when they said, well, it's still a fire station. I said, should I buy a truck? I mean, seriously, this is just crazy. You sell a residential property, and then you tell me it's still a fire station.
That's your government at work. And so then they told him that they filed a lawsuit against him. They said he was accruing penalties of $500 a day. So the City of Seattle now says that he owes them $400,000 that he's in arrears. Then this guy said, well, I'm going to countersue. And the city realized, well, we don't have a leg to stand on. So the city dropped its lawsuit then. But this guy, so far, is out somewhere between $50,000 and $80,000 in legal fees because he used what the city sold as a unique residential dwelling as a residence. And again, this is an example of where government is supposed to work for us. But when you have a government is out of control, as we have in this region, they see us not as people to be served. They see us as the enemy. We are just to be extracted tax dollars from. We are supposed to pay tickets when the criminal class does not have to. We're supposed to shovel our sidewalks, but we can't do anything about the drug vagrant that's pitched a tent on our sidewalk. Government sees us as its foe. And why we keep putting up with it. But, you know, look, I don't keep voting these people back in. But a lot of people do. And you get the government you vote for, that's for sure. All right, next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So while I was on the air yesterday, Jay Inslee was doing his State of the State speech, and we played a couple clips of it for you yesterday. But I had a chance to listen to it after I got off the air, and it's really pretty remarkable to hear somebody who has been a complete failure on the issue that most people around here seem to care about. I mean, I would say the number one issue people care about is traffic and gridlock. And it's gotten much, much worse because of the one-party control. They want to socially engineer people out of cars and people with active family lives where you try to contribute to your community and to your kids. You don't have mass transit as an option. You just simply don't. But you are now the enemy. And so they want to engineer gridlock, which they have done and continue to do as they put more and more streets on road diets and eliminate car traffic in broad swaths of what used to be pretty vibrant arterials. So I would say traffic's number one. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can text me at 98973. Tell me what your priorities are. But traffic's number one. I would say number two is the drug vagrancy and the filth, the crime that is attendant with that. So Jay Inslee, he was talking about homelessness. He wants to spend the state's rainy day fund, and he wants to just give that to the homelessness industrial complex.
I believe we have an obligation to help solve this problem. Our compassion will not allow us to look the other way. And to be successful, our response level must match the scope of this crisis. Homelessness is a statewide problem, and it demands a statewide response this year.
Okay. How can anybody applaud for something that is so vapid? How long has Jay Inslee been governor? Almost 8 years. And homelessness has gotten dramatically worse under his watch. Crime, property crime, has skyrocketed despite the lies that the Seattle Times is helping government peddle. Property crime has skyrocketed. We have more shootings in Seattle than ever. And now Sawant wants to tax Amazon and build public housing, even though that has been a disaster in Seattle and elsewhere around the country. That failed experiment of the 60s and 70s. They realized they got to tear down all the tenement housing that they built. And so Jay Inslee is now saying, well, just give me more money. He said, we're going to fix it starting this year. Why didn't you start last year or the year? I know you were running for president, but you had a job to do. You've been the governor for 8 years, and now you're telling us that you are going to fix homelessness if you just get more money? You've done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing on this issue. How can he stand up there and say, this year we're going to get it done? Fool me once, shame on you, right? He's been fooling us for 7 years now. Are you going to take this nonsense for an eighth year from the gov? And that is your big lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, so much more to do here on the Dory Monson Show. Last night, the Democratic debate, and Democrats, even in the media, are freaking out. Because after that debate, they realize, we don't have anybody who can beat Trump. We'll play some of the clips next on the Dory Monson Show. Democrats are in a panic today. Even their staunchest allies in the media are in a panic after the Democrat debate last night, because as it unfolded, and it was just so tedious, it was so boring, except for this little feud between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. But Democrats watch and realize, because Trump was doing a rally in Milwaukee at the same time, and they realized the contrast. They're now thinking, we don't have anybody out there who can win, who can beat Trump. And so the big thing is Elizabeth Warren, who's fading in the polls, and Bernie Sanders been rising, and they're both, you know, radical socialists. Bernie Sanders is much closer to a communist. I've got some audio that I'll share with you a little bit later on that, how he wanted to puke when JFK and Nixon were deciding how to deal with Castro and communism in Cuba. And he said the fact that they wanted to go after the communist regime that had done so many wonderful things made me want to puke. Yeah, he's much closer to a communist. Anyway, but Bernie's rising in the polls, Elizabeth Warren's fading. And they both are going after the same, you know, group of losers. And I've said that many times. Socialism only appeals to losers because you can't make your own way, so you want government to take other people's stuff, give it to you. You know the whole deal. So they're both going after that same crap. But Elizabeth Warren, to try to stop the bleeding, she is now accusing Bernie Sanders in a private meeting a couple of years ago of telling her that a woman can't beat Donald Trump. Which, and they say, well, it's corroborated by four people within the Warren campaign. I don't believe Bernie Sanders said that. That doesn't sound anything like what Bernie Sanders would say. He's a loser socialist, but I don't think he would ever say a woman can't beat Trump. There's nothing about him that would suggest that. But Elizabeth Warren is a congenital liar. She lies about her Native American heritage. She lied about her kids going to public school when she was trying to look like a regular person. And so last night, this whole thing came up, the Sanders versus Warren thing.
You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed.
How evil is this CNN moderator? So she asked Bernie Sanders a direct question. You never said a woman couldn't win. And Bernie Sanders goes, correct. I never said that. And then a second later, she goes, Elizabeth, how did you feel when Bernie said a woman could never win? So CNN should be absolutely ashamed of itself. I mean, if the guy answered the question, tell him, well, I think you're lying. And have it out with him. But don't just turn to the next person and say he just lied to all of us. But again, CNN doesn't want Bernie Sanders because CNN doesn't think Bernie can beat Trump. And so they're using their moderator in a debate to try to take down Bernie Sanders. And it's just like, in 2016 when we got the WikiLeaks email dump. And we found out that to the extent that Hillary and the DNC conspired to keep Bernie Sanders out when he might have had a serious shot. Now, I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan, but I think that he deserves an equal playing field with everybody else. But the sleaze within the party is pretty apparent there. And so on and on it went with this thing.
CNN reported yesterday that, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement, that in 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it.
Again, CNN, why did you say that? Why would you take the word of somebody who has lying in her DNA, Elizabeth Warren? She doesn't have any Native American blood in her DNA, but she's got lying in there. She is more part liar than she is part Native American.
Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States. Go to YouTube today. There's a video of me 30 years ago talking about how a woman could become president of the United States. In 2015... I deferred, in fact, to Senator Warren. There was a movement to draft Senator Warren to run for president.
Okay. So, I don't believe he said that, but Elizabeth Warren, in her sleaze, she's trying to see if that'll stick now. And look, here's the thing. As I said, the media is freaking out. Van Jones, very far left on CNN, he was scared to death after that Democrat debate last night.
But that was, as a progressive,
To see those two have that level of vitriol was very dispiriting. And I want to say that tonight for me was dispiriting. The Democrats got to do better than what we saw tonight. There was nothing I saw tonight that would be able to take Donald Trump out. And I want to see a Democrat in the White House as soon as possible. There was nothing tonight that if you're looking at this thing, you say this, any of these people are prepared for what Donald Trump is going to do to us. And to see further division tonight is very dispiriting.
Yep. And so now the media is freaking out. Now, by contrast, the president was in Milwaukee for a rally. I'm going to play some clips of that. We'll do a little compare and contrast. Do that up next is the Dory Monson Show. Marches on. So, while the Democrats had their dispiriting debate that has Van Jones on CNN, one of their more ardent supporters, saying, we can't win with anybody in this group, which is true. MSNBC, they were despondent this morning.
It was a dull debate. It was a plotting debate.
By the way, John, they, nobody looked good on that debate stage. I like to say what everybody's saying behind the scenes. I mean, that who I've talked to, nobody looked good on the debate stage last night. It was a, right. It was probably everybody's weakest performance.
Democrats are despondent. They don't have anybody who can beat Trump. So meanwhile, Trump goes and does a rally in Milwaukee. And I read some liberal websites last night, and they said, this proves that the Democrats were talking about substance and Trump was talking about nonsense. And Trump was talking about nonsense, but you know what? He was talking about stuff that people were relating to and that they were laughing about.
We won't talk about toilets, but you know that's true. 10, 15, but we don't talk about that. Because I've said this 3 or 4 times, the only subject they ever talk about is toilets, so I don't mention it. But how about the shower? You go into a shower, and I have this beautiful head of hair. I need a lot of water. And you go into the shower, right? You turn on the water, drip, drip. Drip.
You know, a lot of this is just nonsense. Yeah, there's low-flow shower heads now. It's like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer bought the black market shower head. But people were laughing. People were saying, hey, he's talking about something that I care about in my life. And he does stuff like that to get elected. You know, toilets aren't that bad. Shower heads aren't that bad. But he says stuff like that to get elected. To be entertaining. And then once he was elected, economy's fantastic. Unemployment's fantastic. Wage growth in all demos is fantastic. We take out a terrorist. That's fantastic. Then he gets stuff done. But he does stuff like this. And everybody said, well, this proves just how empty. Now, it proves that he's a genius campaigner who pulled off the most improbable victory in the history of American politics. Nearly four years ago. And they was talking about stuff, again, that's relatable to people. People in Seattle, you know, just substitute Seattle for San Francisco, substitute Pramila Jayapal for Nancy Pelosi, and he's talking to you here.
Nervous Nancy. How about nervous? How about her district? Her district is so filthy dirty. It's filthy dirty. With all of the things, I won't say it, but the needles and everything else, these are areas that were 10 years ago the best in the country, and now they're disgusting. She ought to spend more time back in San Francisco taking care of her community instead of wasting everybody's time.
Again, I've said the same thing about Jayapal. All she cares about is grandstanding, raising her national profile, and what has she done? What has Pramila Jayapal done to deal with the crime and the drugs and the homelessness and the despondency that's on the streets of the city she represents? Nothing. So the contrast just couldn't have been more stark between this, you know, plotting, horrible Democrat debate. Do you have that Tom Steyer soundbite? Did you get that one in there? Bump that one out. I got to play that for people just as a compare and contrast. But, you know, here's Joe Biden talking about foreign affairs.
I know what it's like to send a son or daughter like our colleague has gone to war in Afghanistan, my son for a year in Iraq. And that's why I do it very, very reluctantly. That's why I led the effort, as you know, Wolf, against surging tens of thousands of troops into Afghanistan. We should not send.
Biden was just low energy, boring. Trump was goofing on himself and that everybody says that he's orange.
So the new light bulb costs you five times as much and it makes you look orange. And I was more interested in the orange than I was in the cost. But you know what? If you want, you have it. And you know, the new bulb, I don't know if you see it. It's on there. It's a hazardous waste that when that bulb ends, you're supposed to take it to a certain dump.
Now, again, people are nodding in agreement. And saying, I hate the low-flow showers. I hate the low-flow toilet. I don't like these new light bulbs. And he just figured out a way. And I know a lot of you think that he's just insane. I get it. But anybody who doesn't objectively realize that he's figured out a way to talk in a way that doesn't sound like other politicians, to be more entertaining when he talks, to make people feel like he's talking about stuff that impacts their life, and then you compare it to the Dems and what they did last night, no wonder Van Jones and Morning Joe are despondent today. My goodness. Okay, we are going to check the news for you, and then the Fastest 15, and then at 1:30, Hump Day with Heward. Brock Heward comes along, all straight ahead.